Well, thank you for joining me. Let's pray. All right, let's pray, pray, pray. I can't wait. And thank you for writing me. I get a lot of answered prayers. I want to share a couple of those. But before I do, there's a couple intentions and some news maybe I should start with. Brian Laundrie, I don't know if you heard the latest. You know who he is? Brian Laundrie was involved in that. He was the fugitive in the Gabby Petito case. He came back to Florida, and then he went into, the Everglades there and disappeared. Well, they found his body, of course, and the cause of his death has just been released. Forensic anthropologists say that he died from suicide. Apparently took his own life with a gunshot wound to the head. So I do want to pray for the family of Gabby Petito, of Brian Laundrie. I want to pray for the repose of both of their souls today. And I want to pray for anyone who is suicidal right now, as having suicidal ideation, who does not see a way out of their situation. There's always another day. There is. You don't know how life can change. Of course, that tragedy captured the nation, and they found his skeletal remains, his backpack, and they found a notebook. They think that they might be able to salvage the notebook. See, the water rose, and I think his body was under it. I think the notebook was, but right now, I know the family's in mourning, both families. So just let's keep them in prayer. They're really the victims in all of this. And if for some reason you are feeling that life is not worth living, we're going to pray for you now. But I also want you to know there's somebody that you can speak to. There's a couple things I want to tell you. One, there's a national text crisis line, a national crisis text line, I should say. It's available 24/7. Just text this. If you're feeling that way later tonight or today, you just want to talk to somebody, just text the word HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741741. Text the word HOME to 741741, okay? And of course, here's a number for you, 800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255. There is help out there. Of course, we'll be praying. I want to pray for colleague of mine who lost his wife. I know you've been following the case of what happened in Waukesha County during the Waukesha Christmas Parade. You know, there was a group of dancers there. They were known as the Dancing Grannies. And there was a young dancing granny, 52 years of age. Her name was Tamara Durand. And she was super excited that she was going to make her debut with the group. And Dave, who not only had a radio show on this program, but has been a frequent contributor to Morning Air and to many programs over the years, is just a great supporter of Relevant Radio, in a very unbelievable and tragic way, lost his wife. She was one of those dancing grannies. And, the world's a small place, isn't it? Whoever thought that, you'd know somebody connected to that. Dave said that she danced her way through life, that she loved dancing. She danced even when there was no music. She always danced. And he says it just described her personality. And she volunteered, and she was a loving mother and grandmother. And on Sunday, right before this this parade, she posted a picture to her Facebook page, dressed in the blue and white outfit worn by the grannies holding these pom-poms. And she wrote that it was her first Dancing Grannies parade. And, of course, you've seen the video. Her death, and the death of all those who have fallen victim, all those injured, has left families heartbroken on this, the eve of Thanksgiving and really Christmas, if you think about it. Everyone was shocked, and my heart goes out to Dave. Let's pray for him, and let's pray for all those. It's hard to forgive those who persecute us, right? It's hard to ask for mercy on those souls, but let's just pray for the healing and the time and the distance that we need. Joining me right now, or maybe on a happier note, let me say, I don't want to depress you, anymore. There's so many intentions that have come in here that are so serious, and know that I'm praying for you, and I would share more, but I'm praying with one of my colleagues today, and it's just great to have Jim with me. We've been praying for his family. We've been praying especially for his wife, who has been in a battle with cancer, and he's going to pray the chaplet with us today. And you just told Maggie, and Maggie told me that you got some good news. What's going on, Jim?
Yeah, Drew, always good to be with you. We are very thankful, especially this Thanksgiving, and my wife Erin's birthday is coming up tomorrow, and great news came yesterday. A good scan result, no new cancer, And so she will continue treatment. And we just are so grateful for the so many prayers from you, Drew, and from all of our listeners. And so grateful for that. But I also want to pray for Erin. She called me earlier. She's an intense prayer warrior herself. And she said that a friend of hers named Stephanie, we want to pray for her because her father, Steve, passed away suddenly as a result of complications from COVID. So we can't let up on the prayers. But thank you again, Drew. And thank you to all the listeners for your continued prayers for my wife, Erin.
God is good. God is merciful. And I love that. We'll continue to pray for her and your family. And I just want to thank God, too. A lot of people have been writing to me, sharing those types of stories of how, you know, aneurysms are shrinking or tumors are disappearing and how prayers they've sought have been resolved. There was a person battling with addiction who's finally getting help. And God works in all sorts of ways. We'll pray for you right now. If you're new to the prayer, you can get in any day. I'm just going to give you the number. It's 888-914-9149. I tend to take the first five, maybe six calls. And it's just good to pray for each other. We're family here, and let's turn to our merciful Father as we do every day, invoking this great prayer that he gave to St. Faustina, known as the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Cindy in California. Hi, Cindy. Thanks for dialing in.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to pray for my son, Lucas, who is 25 and about 7 months ago had a very bad reaction to an antibiotic. He hasn't been able to work since. They've diagnosed him with diabetes, and he just has a whole slew of things that just don't seem to, they can't figure out. So I'd like to pray for him and for everybody else who has mystery illnesses and all those who are suffering.
All right, we will certainly lift that up. I received an email from a listener with something very similar too. But I pray for those situations where we don't know the source of the problem or the cause. And I pray for those physicians who are evaluating these patients that they can decide on the right treatment and find the source of the problem. And today I bring to you the sick. I give to you those who are battling illness, those with debilitating diseases. And I just ask, I ask for healing. I ask that grace just flow, that the channels of grace of healing reach souls who need those graces, from diabetes, from cancer, from Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or whatever the disease may be, coronary problems. Lord, I just give you these souls, and we trust in you as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Kentucky next. Teresa, good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
God bless you and all you do at Relevant Radio. I am visiting Kentucky. My son and his special needs granddaughter has moved here, and she is feeling so very lonely. So I'm praying that God will somehow open friendships and special love for her. And she's especially concerned about her grandfather, Ben, in California, who's in the hospital with a severe stroke. She wants a miracle that he goes home for Thanksgiving. Again, I'm praying for unity for all alienated family members. I have a little brother, a younger brother, that's an alienated, and a friend that hasn't seen her son in many years. So it's all across. My son, Jason, just had an elbow surgery today, and I'm praying it heals quickly so he can go back to work. And right. I think that's about it. And I thank you. By the way, I had a miraculous saving. I was in the garage working on something, and two screen doors and a heavy door fell just as I was about to get into that position. And I was listening to the divine mercy, even though I was working. And so I know it. God spared me that day. Absolutely.
Well, praise God, Teresa. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. And let's pray for your family. I love the prayer for family unity. Where there's division, Lord, I ask for healing. I pray for all the intentions, Jesus' voice, for her son's elbow surgery, for health. Lord, we give you thanks. And Teresa, I think of this as I hear your litany of prayers. And so many people, you know, we have all these situations. St. Alphonsus Liguori, he once said, he says, he who prays most receives most. We join every day to pray. I pray throughout the day. And I just ask the Lord to honor these prayers that we all, together, think of how many prayers are flooding heaven right now. Lord, I ask you to hear these prayers, and I ask you to just send abundant answers to those who are now joining me in this prayer. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. We'll go to Twitter next. I know Maggie's been monitoring our Twitter feed. Please follow us online. You can do that at Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani. The show page is at Drew Mariani Show. Maggie will monitor that and share some of your intentions. You can always email me, drew@relevantradio.com, with your intentions and your answered prayers. I love those especially. And Maggie, what's coming in?
Well, we actually have some housekeeping intentions. Some of our Relevant Radio colleagues are going through things. Celine had sent me a message earlier today saying that her grandmother's going through kind of a special situation right now and needs some prayers. And then Lucas, who's our producer for Cale Clark and Timory, his wife has been ill. And so we want to send up prayers for them that she can get better soon. And then actually, just before we got on our broadcast, my mom sent a text to the family. One of our childhood priests, Father Pat Heppy, he was apparently involved in the accident in Waukesha. He was walking with a group of Catholic elementary students and sustained some head injuries. So he's in the hospital, and from what I hear, he's being discharged today. So let's pray for him and all of his students that witnessed that. And then as far as tweets go, Dee asked for prayers for her 8-month-old nephew who has cancer. My son, who has been getting headaches, please pray for him. Wow. And please pray for everything to be okay for my nephew who recently fainted, and for my special needs son, for the teachers to have patience with him. And then Jesse tweeted us and said, please, please pray for the complete healing of a 12-year-old Christian who is going on, he's in an ongoing battle with a very rare type of leukemia and has been in the hospital more than not since fall of 2020.
Wow. Well, let's lift up all those intentions and bring into the prayer Suzanne, who's praying with us in San Diego, California. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Drew. Calling today asking for prayer for a dear friend, Lori, who was diagnosed last week with liver cancer. We need a miracle from our good Lord. Also lifting up all those with liver disease due to alcohol addiction or fatty liver. And special right. prayers for the holy souls in purgatory and those dying today. Thank you, Drew.
I love that prayer. Thank you, Suzanne, also for just reminding us this is the month of souls. We should be praying in earnest for them, for those who've gone before us. But I want to lift up those who are having liver problems, for her friend with liver cancer especially. Lord, in your mercy, please hear my prayers. And hear the prayers of all united with me right now. Lord, I pray against cancer. I pray for those in the fight against it. They can be fortified. I pray for their loved ones. I pray for the care that they are taking, for the treatment, that it may be effective. And I just ask for your divine touch to bring healing to these souls. I give you Suzanne and all the attention she voiced. I unite them to those now praying with me as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Now we're going to Michael in St. Augusta, Minnesota. Hi, Michael. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you. And thank you for your book on divine mercy.
Thank you.
I just found out that my good friend Donnie had his wife admitted to the ICU with COVID, and they have three small children. And I'd also want to pray for you and your family.
Thank you very much. And let me return that favor. And I want to pray for you now too, Michael, for all of your needs. All right, all your intentions. I appreciate the prayer for my family. We could certainly use it. We deeply appreciate it. And let's pray for those now in the ICU. COVID is real. It has affected the lives of so many people and has taken the lives of two great people I know, Father Ubald and Father Seraphim Michalenko. Lord, I pray for those with comorbidities. I pray with those who right now are in critical condition, who are in intensive care. I pray for the end of this disease. I pray for recovery for those in the battle for it. And Lord, I just ask for your mercy on our country, that you protect us from degeneration, from disaster, from disease, from war. Hear the prayers of Michael. Hear the prayers of those united to me as we turn to you and pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Esther. She's listening in Fresno, California. Esther, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you very much. I called a few months ago because I asked for prayers for my son, Steve, who had passed away, and it was hard for me to speak then, but I am struggling because he died alone, and he was alone for 5 days before he was discovered. And so I am struggling a lot with, you know, the whole thing about faith, because he was away from his church, although he did believe in God and we discussed religion. I have to listen to this, to the divine mercy, and think about it, because it's the only thing that gets me by. But I also just lost a cousin of his who is only a year or two older than he, unexpectedly last week. Yeah. And at the beginning of the year, we lost a 19-year-old grandniece, who was at Purdue and had a fell and hit her head and unfortunately lost her life. We have a couple of other more distant cousins who passed away during this year. So it's been a terrible year for our family. Sorry. And we just need prayers.
Well, Esther, first of all, I'm glad you called. I am so, so sorry for your loss. I know it's going to resonate in a special way. It'd be especially painful this time of year. But I just want to assure you of one thing. Look, I don't know God's will. I know your son may be away from the faith. I have loved ones who aren't where they should be with God. I know how much you love your son. You know, just I want you to know God loves him infinitely, infinitely more. I was driving back from Mass this morning, or going to it, and I heard Father Matthew Spencer on the air, and there was another mother who called, and I was so proud of Father Spencer because he articulated exactly what I felt and what St. Faustina said too, and it kind of reassured me in his own belief. God is outside of time. Right? We know that what he said to St. Yes. Faustina. Did you hear him this morning? Did you hear him? Yeah. Here's the deal. He's, you know, first of all, two things. Faustina writes in her diary that Jesus comes to a soul, and this is a private revelation, so take it for what it is, at the moment of death, and gives them opportunities to repent. That's how much God loves us, you know? God is love and mercy itself. So if you had somebody who died tragically or alone or by suicide or whatever it may be, trust in the mercy of God. Know that God is coming to that soul, giving them an opportunity to repent. The Catechism, I think it's Catechism 2283, that says, by ways known to him alone, God offers them an opportunity for repentance. So that's even what the church teaches. Church says, you know, we don't know. In essence, you know, only unforgivable sin is not accepting the mercy of God. And I believe God reaches out. I know your prayers are effective. God is outside of time. And your prayers for your son in that moment can aid in his salvation. I pray for people I know that did not have a priest at their deathbed. And somebody very close to me died that way. And I know God's outside of time. I know he hears these prayers. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And he knows every prayer that you will ever make for your son. And the power to apply those graces at any point, past, present, or future. That's how God can use your prayers, because he's outside of time. So I just want you to be at peace when it comes to your son. Trust in the mercy of God, okay? And we're going to pray for him right now. This is a prayer the Lord said is for the sick and for the dying, that salvation sometimes depends on our prayers. So let's pray together now. All right. And again, my deepest condolences, but my deepest prayers as well. Lord, I pray for this mother who lost her child. I pray for Dave Durand, who lost his wife. I pray for those who are dying alone, those who've died by tragedy and accident, by suicide. Lord, you are mercy itself. You told St. Faustine you are love and mercy. And this is the mystery of the afterlife. No mind, be it human or angelic, will ever be able to fathom the depths of God's mercy. That's what I rely on. That's what I trust in. And I know how much God loves us. How much more does he love our children? Lord, I give you the hour of my own death, those who now pray with me, and the heart's needs, wants, desires, the sorrows, the sufferings of all united with me. Hear our prayers as we pray, eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopotchko,
pray for us.
Blessed Miguel Pro,
pray for us.
Saint Clement, Saint Columban, who are also martyrs, and Saint Solanus Casey, or Blessed Solanus Casey,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Jim, for praying with me. Thank you all for your prayers. We're one family here. I just love this time. I feel the Holy Spirit so powerfully here. I know God's heart is profoundly moved by our prayers. Put your trust in the mercy of God. You will never go wrong. The Lord delights in a trusting soul. And when we come back, I want to share with you a little bit. I was reading about the passion of our Lord through the eyes of St. Faustina. This is very telling. I want to talk to you a little bit about what our Lord endured. And also Jim Caviezel, I've been promised to share with you what happened to him when he hung on the cross. So that coming right up. Stay with me.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Drew Mariani is here for you on Relevant Radio.
Every day, 3 hours a day, 24/7 on my podcast. You can check it out where podcasts can be downloaded and listened to, or just go to relevantradio.com and share the show with others. Introduce others to the chaplain. I think it's such a blessing to you. It's a blessing to me. It's a blessing to the country and to the world. This is such a gift for our time, Divine Mercy. It really is. And you know, I know we're getting into Advent, but I was in my prayer life. I reflect a lot on what St. Faustina was given by the Lord. I mean, I think there's such powerful revelations. And one of the things I've been doing recently, the Lord told Faustina that it pleases him best. And I was struck by this. This is what the Lord himself said to St. Faustina. It pleases me best by meditating on the sorrowful passion. And he says, when we do that, when souls like you and I, when we meditate on his passion, he says, light falls upon the soul. So here, it was in diary entry 15:12. He says, "You please me most when you meditate on my sorrowful passion. The contemplation of my wounds is of great profit to you, and it brings me great joy." I love that Faustina, she not only glimpsed heaven, hell, purgatory. She not only had encounters with saints and angels. The Mother of God appeared to her. And of course, we know the resurrected Lord came to her many times, but she was able to experience. She saw the agony of our Lord in the garden. She saw his brutal scourging. And it was horrible what she saw. She said in one part of the scourging, I don't want to get into too much of this right now, but she said it was an inconceivable agony. She saw how the Lord suffered, how he was scourged. She said it was such an inconceivable agony. She said his blood flowed to the ground, and in some places, I'm sorry if I'm too graphic, it's not my words, these are St. Faustina. She said his flesh started to fall off. I saw bare bones on his back. And the meek Jesus, she said softly, moaned inside. You know what he said to her during this? She appeared, she goes, he said to her, I suffer even greater pain than that which you see. And you know what it was for? She said, Jesus gave me to know that he subjected himself to be scourged. He said, these are the sins of impurity. Oh, how dreadful was Jesus' moral suffering during the scourging. That's just the scourging. And think about that, gentlemen or ladies, when you engage in sins of impurity. You just meditate on that passion, and that'll sober you up, I would think. I mean, it's, can't imagine our sins. I mean, the Lord did this for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. Purity is, God loves purity and humility and a desire for love of him. Those are things that really move the heart of God. You know, after the scourging, the torturers, of course, crowned the Lord, and then they made him carry his cross. You know all of it. And Faustina had glimpses of all of this. But when he was crucified, the Lord said, I thirst. See, Faustina saw the Lord nailed upon the cross, and again, he was moaning. When you're crucified, you don't have many words because you can barely breathe, right? You're not chatty when you're on the cross. And the Lord was in agony, his blood draining from his body. And she heard him issue again a soft moan. She heard it from his heart. He said, I thirst for the salvation of souls. Help me, my daughter, to save souls. Join your sufferings to my passion and offer them to the Heavenly Father for sinners. I mean, the passion of the Lord. I could talk for 3 hours on this topic. I don't have time to do that today, but I just want to invite you to do that in the days ahead, to reflect on the passion of the Lord. I often think, I would think one of the holiest places on the entire earth, it has got to be Calvary. It has to be there where Christ defeated death, where he conquered it, where he defeated sin and the evil one, where victory took place, where the gates of heaven were thrown open for you and for me. To me, that's the holiest place on the planet. And I think God, it's my personal theory here again. I'll give you some of my own spiritual insight and take it for what it is. I think at this particular day, this particular time in which you and I live, I think the Lord wants us to meditate on his passion. I do. I think impurity is rampant in our culture today. And I think about the scourging. I think about the crowning. I think about all these other things that happened to the Lord. But you got to see what happens. What happens? The Lord comes and he gives to St. Faustina these visions, right? Many other saints have had them too. We were given the gift of Padre Pio, who bore the wounds of Jesus Christ. His back flagellated, his hands and feet pierced. He'd lose a pint of blood a day. So that was, he died in 68. What do we see in our own day? I mean, how does Christ's passion come front and center to us? It came through the movie, The Passion of the Christ. I think that was a gift for our time. Gibson's now working on a second part to that, the resurrection. But I remember reading that Gibson got a bunch of signs that he was to do this movie, right? And then Caviezel, who played Christ, Jim Caviezel, he got an equally unusual indication or signs just before that. Strange women came up both to Gibson and to Caviezel. A woman came up to Gibson and says said to him that Jesus loves you, right? And he took it as a personal sign to do this. And then Caviezel had a woman come up and said, you'll be playing Jesus, right? I mean, out of the blue. So, you know, there was this involvement also with the German mystic and nun Anne Catherine Emick, who died back in 1824. And she was given the visions of the passion of our Lord as well, the life. And what Emmerich writes is profound. And Gibson actually carries a relic of her. He came to know Emmerich in a way that, in retrospect, seems, I guess, divine is maybe the right word for it. You know, when Gibson returned to the faith, he acquired from a convent that had closed down, library, all these old books. Kind of cool. I'd love to have them, right? And he said when he was researching the Passion one evening, he reached up for a book, and Brentano's volume tumbled out of the shelf and into his hand. Clement Brentano, the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich, who died, as I said, back in the 1800s, she left these volumes of revelations. They were compiled by this guy, Brentano. And, that book providentially fell into his hands. So he sat down and began to read it, and he was blown away by the vivid imagery of Emmerich's vision. Amazing images of what Jesus Christ went through. Caviezel, of course, began filming this. He was 33 years of age when he played Christ. I mean, couldn't be any more appropriate, right? And all these strange things began happening on the set when they were doing it. Strange lightning plagued the movie. The assistant director was dubbed Lightning Boy after lightning struck his umbrella during the filming on the hilltop there. He suffered burns. A few months later, a storm rolled in, and Caviezel was on top of the hill. He was on Golgotha with Caviezel on the cross. It wasn't the actual hill. He was in a different place, but he was struck by lightning. The main bolt hit Caviezel, and one of the forks hit this other guy's umbrella. And there were all these unusual things that happened. People were being healed of diseases. A couple people even had sight and hearing restored. Another guy was struck by lightning while they were filming the crucifixion scene. He just got up and walked away. I think the Lord wanted focus and attention on the Passion. And not only during the filming were there abundant signs, but I think afterwards we saw the fruit of it. And I think this is something so important for our day. No question in my mind, there's none, that Calvary is the holiest place on the planet. If you ever get a chance to go there and to pray, I would strongly encourage you to do it. I've said before, you know, you should go to Auschwitz or to the concentration camps and see the horrors of what unfolds. Everybody should see that. That's man's inhumanity to man. But I think also to walk in the footsteps of Christ, to be able to pray at the very place where Christ conquered death and threw open the gates of heaven for us, that's a rarity. Those are the things I think everyone should do. I also threw Safari in there. They're my top three. When you see God's creation, unbelievable. Hey, I'm joined right now, by the way, by Khalid. Well, let me take a break. When I come back, we'll talk more. In fact, let's talk a little bit about Calvary. I would love... Maybe you've had a profound experience there. But I want to go to Israel. We'll actually speak to George, who is in the Holy Land. He is a guide over there. We'll get some real perspective on it. Jacob, the president of Nativity Pilgrims, will be joining me too. So feel free to dial in. We'll be back with more right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com. /Forrester. Jerusalem, Ikayalami,
Ilondoloze, Uhambenami. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thank you for joining me. It is a delight to be here with you today. You know, as Christians, our faith is real. Historical events and a faith that, yes, God took on our human flesh in this particular place and in this particular moment in history. And that's why I know going to the Holy Land has always been a dream for many Christians, to be able to go to the places where Christ was born, where he walked, where he taught, where he healed, where he raised from the dead, where he worked miracles, where he taught truth, where he gave the ultimate gift, his body and blood, his soul and divinity in the Eucharist, that gift that we have today, and where he conquered death and threw open the gates of heaven when he hung on the cross. And of course, we know God the Father raised him from the dead. He raised from the dead, and that's our faith. And I'm joined today by Colette Jacob, President of Nativity Pilgrimage, and of course, George is his associate in the Holy Land. They join us today, and I've invited them here. If you have a question about the Holy Land, you want to get in, you want to share your experience, call right now. I have a few minutes. It's 888-914-9149. Good to have you back, Jacob. George, welcome. Good evening to you in Israel.
Thank you,
sir. Good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. So I would love, you know, I was talking a little bit about the passion of our Lord through the eyes of St. Faustina, through Mel Gibson's film, and the fact that I think the Lord really wants us to meditate on this. Bring me to Calvary. And if could you just share, what is it like? It was a little different than I expected, but let's talk about Calvary and what those who will travel there will see. Because I you know, when I was there last time, I knelt and I prayed for the conversion of somebody very close to me. And I think if you have somebody away from the faith, if you are in personal need of conversion, if you want to deepen your faith, to kneel at the very site where Christ's blood, you know, soaked the soil, there's a power. And I really suggest you prayerfully consider that. It's extraordinary. I feel the power. The veil separating heaven and earth is a little thinner there. But bring me to Israel. Bring me to Golgotha. What's it like? What do people encounter?
George, you want to start?
Yeah, why not? I'd always start, Drew, with, of course, I would start with the Garden of Gethsemane. First, because it's a foreshadow of course, the book of Genesis, chapter 22, when Abraham takes the wood and he puts it on his son's back, on Isaac, and he tells him, go up to Moriah. And then Isaac was asking him, of course, where's the sacrifice? And then Abraham would say, the Lord would provide. Okay, that's why we call the place until nowadays, the Lord will provide, or what we call in Hebrew as Moriah. But the thing is that the moment you walk in the city and then you see the Basilica of Resurrection, the moment I go in, every time I look in the faces of the pilgrims, you know, your five senses do work together, because you smell the smell that goes into the nose and then straight into the heart, and then you just lift your head, and then you see Calvary up there. You go on these cobbled streets, up cobbled stones of Calvary, and then you're up on the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th stations, of course, of the cross, and then you'll be standing in front of the cross where the Lord was crucified. Okay, where the blood came down through a crack that is still visible until nowadays. Okay, and all archaeologists would say that that crack is because of the earthquake that happened in the first century AD. That went down, the blood goes through that crack to wipe away the original sin where Adam was buried. And actually, until nowadays, under Calvary, under Golgotha, we have a place that is called Adam's Chapel.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So are pilgrims able to pray in Adam's Chapel? I mean, or is that not accessible?
Oh, yeah. We go up on Calvary, we line up, we go into that small booth, and literally speaking, Drew, every person can put her or his arm inside a hole where we can touch Calvary itself, exactly where the cross or where the beam was. Okay, and then just below it is Adam's Chapel. Yes, it's a place that fits around 20 to 25 people. We can see the crack, okay, that where the blood came down through. And by the way, it's not only a Christian tradition that says that Adam was buried there. It's a Jewish tradition that dates to the 5th and 6th century before Christ.
That makes sense, though, doesn't it? You wonder where, you know, Christ is the new Adam, right? Mary's the new Eve. So to have Calvary at the very place.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely amazing. I'm going to bring a very special crucifix that I have with me and make sure it touches that place. I know people will do the same thing with their rosaries and their other relics. Mm-hmm. Let me grab a call or two from some calls here, because I know we only have you for a few moments today. And George, I'm grateful for you staying up so late. I know it's late there in Israel right now. But Robert is listening in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Robert, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for this special time. It was a special time in 13 when I was fortunate enough to get to the Holy Land and to visit. And one of the things at the summit right where Christ was crucified. As you, first of all, station number 10, you can see where Christ was nailed to the cross. Yep. And then you go through a little doorway or hallway type thing, and there is the Blessed Mother Mary. And I've never seen a sadder, more sorrowful mother or of the Blessed Virgin. It was just fantastic. It was,
well, Robert, thank you for calling and for sharing that. I have a little bit of time, so I'm going to let George and Jacob respond. And I'm curious, because he's talking about the stations. Are you able to do the Stations of the Cross and the Via Dolorosa? Do pilgrims do that, or what happens leading up to Calvary? Because that has got to be a unique experience.
You know, all the pilgrimage we organize, mainly it's Catholic. You know, we do mainly Catholic pilgrimage, and all our pilgrims, they have the experience to do the 14th Station of the Cross and then in Calvary, and then have a Mass at the Holy Temple of Jesus. This is our normal schedule. And the Calvary, it's very important, next to what George said, it's very sorrow. It's you feel the sadness before you go to the joy, the resurrection. So in, under the same roof, under the same building, you're going to have mixing of feeling, you know. It's very spiritual. It's the moment. You're going to, like every pilgrim, when he walked the Via Dolorosa and he walked through that pain and he understand that the Lord did it for us, each one of these stations, it has different mark on their heart. When they come back, I believe they share it like Robert did.
Yeah.
Hey, and all the pilgrim, you know, when you're going to be there in February, this is, since it's going to be still very weak in tourism or the pilgrim to come back to Israel, I think we will have a great chance to pray more, to have our own chapel for certain time, not very quick like in usual tourism, you know, season.
I love that. My daughter is going in January, and I told her, well, I'm going to be going in February, you know, and she's super excited. And friends of hers just got back, and they said that the Holy Land really was empty. And just to be able to go to the upper room where the Lord gave us the Eucharist, or to kneel at Calvary, to put my hand on that rock, and to have more than just 10 seconds is so profound. I think that's as I said, I mean, I think Christians the world over should make a pilgrimage if they can to these places. I've been to a lot of different places around the world, and I've been to Israel twice before, and it's extraordinary. Hey, I only have a couple minutes left. George, let me ask you about the upper room, because you know, you talked about Calvary and how unique that was. How do we know the upper room is the upper room? Because again, where the Eucharist was given, this is going to be a year in our country where the bishops are revitalizing devotion to the Eucharist. And I'm really trying to deepen my own Eucharistic relationship. Fill us in on the upper room a little bit. What happened there? How do we know that that's the place?
Okay, first of all, nowadays, Mount Zion, of course, in the Jewish way of thinking, there is Mount Zion, okay, which is where the upper room is, okay, where Mount Zion is. And in the Jewish faith and in Jewish books, of course, they call Jerusalem as Zion as well. Sometimes the city of David is well known as Zion as well. But the thing is that during the Lord's time, Mount Zion, where the upper room is, was inside the city. And the Gospel of Luke tells us that the Lord tells two of his disciples, that's a very important sentence over here, go into the city and follow a man with a water jar. You see, into the city, okay, and follow a man with a water jar. For us, you know, we come from the East, a man with a water jar, that doesn't fit. But the disciples knew what the Lord meant, because he was leading them into a courtyard or a neighborhood that was, of course, well known as the Essene neighborhood, the same people who wrote down the Dead Sea Scrolls, who lived a celibate life. So if there's no women who would carry the water into their homes, men. So they knew where the Lord was pointing them. So you'll meet a man, and that man who's sitting outside, tell him that the master seeks a room. Since the lower room was busy, he gave them the upper room. That's why we call it the upper room. Okay,
I love it. George, I'm going to hold you on that thought just because I have less than a minute to go. I want to thank you for being here. And Jacob, I want to give you final thoughts too here as we have only a minute left. And you and I will talk more, I hope, in the future, gentlemen. There's so much to unpack regarding the Holy Land and some of the great aspects of the faith. But Jacob, let me give you the final 60 seconds here.
You know, we looking for the people to have a life-changing experience to visit the Holy Land. They can do it now in February. They can go to relevantradio.com/Holy Land. They will find all the information how to sign in. We are ready to receive their calls and their emails as well. It's going to be very, very special occasion to be with you, Drew, for 10 days. They're going to be with you, around you. They're going to listen to you, pray with you, everything. I think that's going to be very special to let these listeners be with you. And for us, it's going to be very promised to change their heart, you know, by walking the footsteps of our Lord. They're going to come back different than how they go. I promise.
Jacob, thank you. I got to hold it right there. Again, relevantradio.com/Holy Land. George, I look forward to meeting you. I look forward to talking to both of you again.
Thank you, sir.
I'll be right back.
Thank you. Thank you.